Hello, good afternoon. This Saturday afternoon, you're very welcome along to a special referendum special programme. We're broadcasting live from the Oire Leisure Centre here in Letterkenny, where counting of votes is well underway in the referendum. A referendum that is going to be passed, it seems, by quite a wide margin nationally. 68% yes, 32% no. That was the Irish Times exit poll. The tallies coming into us from across the country indicate that that is not going to be too far out. It's a likelihood that Donegal's going to vote no by a very narrow margin. At this point, there are a number of boxes that remain to be open, but it can't be ruled in or out. We have John McAteer, editor of the Tyrconnell Tribune, joining us very shortly to go through the figures with us, a bit of analysis, a bit of comparison, of course. We'll also have a legal expert a little later on to talk to us about what's next, what happens after this yes vote. But we're also joined by Mary T. Sweeney, spokesperson for Donegal Pro Life, and also Cathy Shields for Donegal Together for Yes. Both of you, thank you very much. I'll start with you, Mary T. We have spoken over the course of this campaign, and it would seem nationally it's going to be a yes. It's very likely that in Donegal it's going to be a no. What's your reaction to the referendum outcome, as much as we know?
Well, to me, I never count anything until it's over, Greg. That's the reality in my days of being at campaigns and electioneering. And I never presume anything. I just have a new team out here of lovely, young, vibrant young people that want a no vote. We campaigned honestly, earnestly, and morally for a no vote because we believed it was only about life and death. And our whole objective was to defend the life of the unborn child in the womb.
And if it is to be a yes to repeal, how does that make you feel?
A yes to repeal, our campaign's never gone away and it won't go away, and we would be challenging the government and we would be putting pressure on our politicians to go back to government and say this is not good enough, and our local representatives, we will be immediately on the case to them and saying that we want Donegal represented. And it's no, there's no winners here today in my book, or losers, you know what I mean? And the Donegal Pro-Life team, because we have been out earnestly campaigning to defend life and the life of the unborn baby in the womb while still protecting the mother.
On a national scale, if you can look at it sort of in that, what went wrong for the No campaign? A lot of people I would have spoken to would have been sympathetic to a no vote, but would have felt the likes of Senator Ronan Mullen or John McGurk and some of the rhetoric and stuff that was being said, you know, the shots being fired from one side or other. But particularly those two, a lot of people have mentioned to me that I might be a no voter, but they don't speak for me. They don't represent how I feel or want to actually sort of...
This campaign for me was different to anything else I've ever been involved with, because this is the first time I've seen marketing skills employed to the extent that they've been used, and the psychology that's come into play here. And it's like all the modern technologies from, I would have associated with the West, with the American psychology and the marketing tricks and tools have been very, very evident. So strongly so. I feel that nationally the media has been very biased. And I think that it's a sad reflection on the Irish government that used the word democracy in any shape or form to say that they were democratic in their approach to this referendum or in the information that they put out to the people. And the reality is that the people have been presented with information and facts that I would challenge then and now. And in 10 years' time, I would stand over the facts that I stood over for this campaign, and I would dispute the facts, and I would think that some of the yes voters may have regret for their vote.
Well, we'll come back to you. Cathy Shields, it does appear it's going to be a national yes, which you were looking for, of course, in the Together for Yes movement. Locally, it's very likely it could be a no. Your reflections on it?
I think if you had told me last night at 9 o'clock that, you know, it might be as close as 52-48 in Donegal, I don't know if I'd have believed you. We always knew that it was going to be a very tight margin either way in Donegal, And so I suppose at the minute it's looking like it could be a no, but, you know, there are still some boxes left to open. Like Mary said, we don't know until we know. But the local campaign has been really amazing. Just like young local women getting involved and going out into their communities to explain to them the nuances around, you know, the laws that exist and the laws we would like. And so nationally, obviously, that is happening. And so... you know, women in Donegal will be able to access safe and legal abortions here should they need to.
How important do you think were the personal stories? To be honest with you, no disrespect to politicians, no disrespect to the debates and those who took part in them. I believe the biggest influencer is, and Mary T can come in a bit if she disagrees, I believe the biggest influence in this was people's experiences, what they knew, people they knew what they'd been through. And that seemed, as I say, it's only anecdotal, but that seemed to have much more of a sway in this rather than debates, rather than posters, rather than whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, these women were really brave in their families to come out and share the experiences that they had trying to access healthcare here in Ireland. And it really just personalized it. You know, these are women that we know. There are women in our community, in our own campaign. There are women who've, you know, felt every impact of the Eighth Amendment across every possible outcome of pregnancy. And these are real women that we're working with and working for. And absolutely, the, like, if it wasn't for these women telling their stories, I don't know where we'd be today. You know, it was really important to just highlight the reality of denying that blanket ban. Like, it's just too black and white.
It's not a day for celebration, though, is it, as such? Because, you know, of course, there was celebration after the last referendum, the marriage equality referendum. But this is different because, at the end of the day, is to deal with some of the most difficult experiences any living person will have to go through.
I think most of the campaigners here you see today on both sides are just weary. And, you know, we're all glad that this is coming to an end. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. No, that's it. Stay with us, of course. Mary T, you aren't convinced, though, that it was the personal stories that women, that the people had empathy for what they heard women had to go through, and that sort of trumped the argument about sort of, you know, the unborn.
The reality is that the personal stories, some of them appeared true, some of them appeared untrue to me. Some of them were definitely falsehoods. And the reality is that...
So you're saying women were making up stories?
There were stories online, yes, that were not true. There was people on the streets, on the YouTube filmed, standing representing organizations saying falsehoods.
But did that not happen on both sides? Because, you know, I mentioned John McGurk earlier. He was putting forward people that worked, you know, maternity experts that turned out they really were just trolley pushers in a hospital at one point or other. So there was some misinformation on both sides, wasn't there?
No, the misinformation was deflecting the fact of what people were being asked to vote on. The people were being confused all the way along. And that's why I said the marketing ploys at use here were phenomenal. The Yes side had a great marketing team because they had the government behind them and the resources of the government behind them. We had the people of Donegal that were standing with their own knowledge and gaining knowledge and informing themselves, because we couldn't depend on our government to tell us the truth of what was going on. And the whole process of the Yes team argument was to deflect from the reality of what this was all about.
Well, what was it about then, in a sentence?
It was, for me, it was about killing babies.
Mm. But what about the women?
You can't kill a baby. Yeah. The mother has to be protected at all times and always was protected at all times, irrelevant of the outcome of this today. The Eighth Amendment always protected the woman. There's 5 women a year die in English hospitals through sepsis, like Savitas. You know, the lies that were told, that poor woman, may she rest in peace. It was scandalous what was done with her case.
Your reaction to that, Cathy?
I mean, Mary, I'm sitting looking at you and I don't want to say it, but I mean, this is so massively hypocritical coming from you and your side. I mean, like, the Donegal Pro-Life aren't registered with SIPO. Yous aren't playing by any of the rules. These posters have gone up with no addresses on them, putting, like, crosses all across the country to... I mean, it's just... And talking about marketing teams, I mean, like, it's just unreal, the level of external input that's gone into this campaign and the effort that we've had to make with no budget, with just men and women out on the street. And it's just... I'm very shocked to hear you say these things, knowing that...
No, Mary T, the crosses thing backfired, didn't it? I don't know who was behind that or whatever, but it seemed to change people's opinions. Women, from a lot of the women I spoke to and the men associated to them, it made them think differently. That it, right. You know, people who'd gone through miscarriages, you know, people that had lost loved one on the roads. Mm-hmm. It was like, really, is this? No, that's just what I'm hearing, but I want to hear what you have to say.
The reality is that. I think it's a very sad reflection that a progressive Ireland is asking the people of Ireland to say that the child in the womb isn't a child. That's the crux of this, and that can only be the crux of this matter. The child in the womb is not a child. It will no longer have, perhaps our solicitor can give more advice, it will no longer have intrinsic basic human rights to be protected.
But are you of the opinion?
That's what this argument's
about.
Are
you of the opinion now that
the argument was deflected, Greg, from the beginning by the ES team as a strategy to deflect from the because the reality is, if it had focused on,
the actual
strategy, the whole campaign was about, do we recognise the child in the womb as a life or not? And you're telling me today that the people of the country have believed what I consider were lies that were told to them, to make them believe that the child in the womb was worthless.
Cathy?
People want to find a balance between pregnancy and the mother carrying that pregnancy. And this change in the law will allow us to find that balance. As I've said numerous times, life isn't as black as white as you make it out. And women don't have to die, and they don't have to get ill from illnesses that can be prevented and treated now. And sometimes that might be a termination, and sometimes it might be something that could endanger the pregnancy. But women should be allowed to make that decision for themselves. And you talk about the child in the womb. There are children who need to travel to access abortions because they've been assaulted.
You were going to mention someone that...
We met a woman who told us about meeting basically her friend and 14-year-old on a plane on their way to access an abortion because she'd been assaulted by her own grandfather, and she had to sneak off to England to get that treatment rather than be compassionately
99
treated here.
Children being killed for one child. Does the child in the womb, is she or he allowed rights today, Caroline, if you've won your campaign?
It's a balance, and doctors and women can find
that
balance.
So now that you've won, as a child allowed rights today again in the womb?
This isn't about stripping rights away from you know, prenatal life.
But your campaign stated
it's about finding a balance.
The child in the womb has no rights. It doesn't deserve rights.
And, you know,
your strategy was to deflect the true argument. The true argument has been confused, and that's why you've won.
Women know what abortion is.
But the people of Donegal
Mary,
didn't
I
listen
think
to
that you're being very
and
naive
God,
if you imagine that they don't.
Will not have listened to that. And the people of Donegal know we value the baby in the womb. Sick, healthy, or male or female.
Okay. Cathy, on a national scale, and this is, I can pull out numbers here for an individual box in Bonnersmore, but that really at the end of the day doesn't matter because this is a national vote. Do you think it's helpful that it's so wide in that, you know, if it were tight, there could be some challenges, ambiguity going forward? I think, and I'm going to give Mary a good opportunity to answer this as well, because it's a question, not a statement, but this kind of perhaps puts to bed for many people this debate because the margin of victory was so wide.
I think so. I mean, I suppose we'll wait to see. But it does empower the government, I suppose, to act on the legislation that they put in front of us, that there doesn't need to be this bitter back and forth now chatting about the legislation between different parties, that they can go ahead and introduce abortion services up to 12 weeks on a woman's request and later in pregnancy if necessary.
Mary Team? Okay, well, my question really effectively, and we should have had you a little bit closer, but it's quite noisy in here anyway. My question is does this put the debate to bed now, if you know what I mean, in that if it were 51-49, that maybe, you know, it could be contested or we can continue having the debate, but if it is 70-30 nationally, as it appears it's going to be, Mary T, does that mean that this conversation now really is over in any real sense?
Not at all. We're just starting. The government has to be made responsible for the lies they put forward to the people of Ireland. They have to be challenged, and slowly but surely they will be challenged, and this will be eroded, and this will be reversed. And when people are lied to systemically, then there's a psychology involved here that they end up believing the lies that they're being told. If you tell somebody often enough that that's black, that's black, that's black, and you know it's grey, but if you're told often enough the child in the womb doesn't deserve a life, it doesn't deserve rights, it doesn't deserve to be an entity, or it doesn't deserve life because it's not viable, you know, they eventually believed it. And that's a sad reflection of the power of the media, especially the national media and all media. And I'll not quote them specifically, but if you'd like me to quote them, I can quote them. And the reality is that it's a sad day that the journalist unions didn't have a more empowering role to give open view to the press officers from all the TVs. I haven't seen any debates. I've been too busy campaigning and canvassing. So I can't speak specifically, but okay. Apparently some of the no side were treated terribly in the debates.
Thank you very much, Mary T. Sweeney.
Thank you. Pleasure to meet you.
And it's been nice to and thanks for coming over and having a chat. Because on the wider scale, on a national scale, we have to remember there are at least 30% nationally that voted no. It's probably going to be 50-50 here. Their voice, their vote is important as any is important as anyone. So I think what we have to do, and would you agree, Cathy Shields, that as we move forward, that you know. There's been a lot of, I saw a lot of nasty stuff online, back and forwards, from both, quoting tweets, you know, sniggering, laughing, from both sides. It was horrible. It was not reflective of the conversations I saw sisters having with each other, mums and dads having with their families. It was this horrible sniping. We need to move forward as a country now on this issue, don't we? Not on this issue, but just to heal and stop this division.
Well, it's interesting. Mary and I agree on something. The way the media portrays the media around referenda is very difficult to manage. It does have two sides pitched against each other, and so it does come across as this constant antagonism all the time. Whereas out canvassing and talking to people in the streets, it is a conversation, and people are respectful generally. Like many's a door I knocked on where a person said that they were a no voter, and they were really kind and not. Do you know, it was just no thank you and move on to the next door. And I think that it would be interesting to look at the way that we deal with referenda in the media generally.
Okay, Cathy, thank you very much. I have to do a bit of producing on the fly. I was listening to every word that you said there. Cathy Shields, Donegal Together for Yes. Mary T. Sweeney, spokesperson for Donegal Pro-Life. Both of you, thank you very, very much. It's very much appreciated. And we'll speak to more people from both campaigns a little later on in this programme.
Text 086 60 25,000.
You are very welcome back to the programme. We are broadcasting a special up until 1 o'clock here from the Aura Leisure Centre. Just a reaction to the outcome of the referendum. We know nationally it's going to be in and around 73, if not a little tighter. Locally in Donegal, though, it's still very much in the air, up in the air. We're looking at 50-50. Right, John McAteer of the Tyrconnell Tribune joins us. We're also going to be speaking to Seamus Gunn to get a legal perspective on this. But first and foremost, John McAteer, thank you as always for joining us on Highland Radio.
Thank you, Greg. Nice to be here.
It looks very tight. What are you reading from the figures?
There's about 65% of the boxes now finished. It's looking 50-50, maybe shading slightly in favour of the no side. It's going to depend on the final outcome of the boxes from Letterkenny. I wouldn't attempt to call it. It's just about 50-50. The no side, the same as it's... they're 2 points ahead. The yes side are seeing a similar story.
Looking at some of the figures, and you're the man for the figures, but just my cursory look. Lahey, for instance, Lahey National School voted yes. Barnesmore voted yes. Donegal Town voted yes. Then Buncrana Town voted yes. Buncrana More Rural Boxes voted no. Then you head towards Killybegs. They voted yes. But it seems that if you were to count the boxes individually, there'd be more yeses than no, but it's going to come down to the amount and the width of the gap that
it
would
depends.
See.
Some local figures there. Mufford is about 50-50. We'd probably have a turnout of around about 65%, which is extraordinarily high. But just to look at some of those local figures, Kirriekeel has voted no, in favour of no. Letterkenny Trinity Hall has voted yes.
That's about 55%, isn't it? 55%,
yeah. Raffoe, Liscooley, all voting no. Rosnakill, 83 yes, 107 no. Bremelton, significantly, 598 yes, 527 no. Rinmore, that's the community centre in Fannet, which covers the Gaeltacht area, 59 yes, and 138 no. Cashel na Gore, across in... the Falkara area, 126 yes, 226 no.
Woodlands, strong no's that.
Woodlands, 591 yes, 619 no. That one surprises me.
That's Letterkenny as well, isn't it?
That's on the outskirts of Letterkenny. We're looking at Glen Swilly. Just shading it, the no side, shading it by maybe a couple of votes.
Inishowen as a whole seems to have voted no.
And it's shown a strongly voted
what does
no.
that say? We have the mayor up there, Jack Morrie, Sinn Féin. We have, of course, Senator Patrick McLaughlin and the Sinn Féin team all advocating all advocating for a yes. And we'll talk a little bit later on how this might feed into general elections. Does that point to the fact that my theory is people made up their minds? They didn't make up their minds watching telly, listening to the radio or newspapers. They made up their minds on what they feel inside their chest, the people they know, what they've been through. And I don't know how much influence outside of that there was in this whole...
I think there's one man in Inishowen had a big influence throughout the 80s, 90s and the noughties and right up to now, and that is Brian Flanagan, who has been one of the strongest advocates
for a no.
For a no. Mm. I think his influence is still there very, very strongly. And people hadn't made up their minds to a certain degree. One of the striking things out of the poll last night, the exit poll, was that only 10% of those who offered an opinion said that religion played any role whatsoever. Now, does that mean that we have become a very secular Ireland?
No, I think what it means is that you have church-going Catholics, for instance, who got up and walked out of Mass because they were being spoken to mid-Mass about the abortion referendum, and I think they didn't think the church should be sticking the nose in their business, and I don't mean that crudely.
It's a difficult one to analyse because the numbers who actually walked out of church would be very, very small.
But I
would be aware of one person who would have walked out of church in Chrysler and that kind of thing, but I would also have been aware where priests spoke from the pulpit and were given a round of applause.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very, very hard to call it. There's a variation all over the place. I mean, Joe McHugh's own home territory has voted very strongly for yes in a very rural area out around Downing's, Carrigart and those areas. So people, the one thing that kept playing up on the campaign is the Savita Halappanavar thing and the fact that she should not have died. And no matter how you try to spin it, there was an element there that, in her death, that the Eighth Amendment was attributed as a major factor in it, that it should not... No woman... Okay. She died officially from sepsis, but had her pregnancy been terminated, she stood an excellent chance of survival. Yeah, the other incident then, a couple of years later...
See, the problem is with the debate is there was a lot of dispute about that.
There was.
You know, and in that, you know,
but it
the
resonated.
Decision...
Like, it did resonate
it
very,
did
very
resonate.
Strongly.
It did. I just wonder if people's more personal... But, feelings come to. I'm going to tease that out with you more in a moment because we've got plenty of time, John. I want to bring in Seamus Gunn here, our legal expert, solicitor, of course, contributor to the 9 till noon show regularly. Seamus, I know you have sort of a broad set of views, generally speaking. So before we talk about what next, your reflection on the referendum itself.
Well, my reflection is that it's a resounding success for the Yes campaign. I think, contrary to a lot of the pundits that would have had it a lot closer. What's interesting, actually, if you look back to the introduction of the constitutional change to Article 43.3 back in 1983, right, the figures that went for yes then to bring in that constitutional amendment was 66.9% resounding yes. Now we have a reverse at 70% of the people are saying to discard that.
It's quite a remarkable swing.
And
what I noticed too from some of
the thing that people just that Mary T was alluding to. Well, what's the legal position? There's no protection now. This isn't a time for alarm. I think this is a time where you have to stand back. We may or may not. If you're a yes, if you're a no person, you might be unhappy with the result. But we're living in a democracy in which there is a resounding movement towards this. And therefore, we have to acknowledge that. We have to take it on board. And what is actually happening here is the removal of the protection from the Constitution. And it's from the Constitution only that it has been removed. And it has handed over that responsibility, a very major responsibility, to a potentially hung doll to legislate in the area.
I want to talk more to you about that.
That's exactly what they now have to do. So we're taking it out of the Constitution. And it's interesting, actually, I just looked up, like the wording is quite bland now that's going to come in. Provision may be made by law for the regulation of termination of pregnancy. Simpliciter. So there will be provision for termination once it's in accordance with law. The other thing, though, that I think is because of the 70-30 margin, there's probably no room for a challenge on this.
Mm.
You know, it's so wide, every time we've had referendums here before, you know, they've had somebody off the High Court within 7 days looking for their permission to go and challenge it. I can't see that happening.
And I think
this
it also sort of, it doesn't help the argument of bias in the media and all that type of stuff. I think this is so resounding a yes
so
nationally.
Resounding, yeah, and it's a resounding. And the other thing, though, that I think that we can take a good deal of comfort from, I believe that there has been a very big youth vote and have come out in their numbers and returned home in order to vote.
18 to 24, 87% yes.
Yes, so
25 to 30, 83%. Even in the 35 to 49 age bracket, 74% yes. Even in the, then you have to go really for it to swing the other way. You have to go to the over 65s for it to be a 40-60.
Yes, so that speaks volumes. And it's also comforting in that for the marriage referendum, it would have been something similar, that it was the youth vote or the young person 18 to 24 that came out in their droves to pass that legislation. So going forward, I think we have a wee bit of optimism here that young people are now engaging. Well, they're certainly engaged in this, and they were engaged in the last referendum, and they're coming out and voting. And that is what has made the difference, because if you do go beyond the 50-plus bracket, where some of us may or may not be, you'll see it that it's going slightly more towards the no side on that.
Okay. So, caller wants to know how Lifford voted John McAteer. You're looking at the numbers there. What's off the top of your head?
We don't actually have the Lifford boxes here as yet.
Okay, they're the ones. There's a few that haven't been opened. Okay.
There's quite a few that haven't been. Well, we haven't got them from the tally tables.
Okay, we'll come back to you, and we'll come back to Seamus in a moment. Thomas Pringle, I think it's not unfair to say you're the most vocal, in this campaign locally, at least in terms of elected representatives. You advocating the yes, your own area, by the looks of it, from what I can see, the figures went with you on that. It seems like a reasonably strong yes in Killybegs.
Yeah, and even the entire Donegal electoral area is a strong yes.
So Donegal Town was yes, yeah. Lahey was yes, Ballintross and
across, across the board, and there's still a few of the boxes have to come in yet, and so it might even be slightly stronger as well. And, you know, unfortunately, it shows, I mean, maybe I could have done a bit more. I could have been about a bit more, and maybe that might have made a difference as well, you know. And I think that other political parties will have to look at it.
There was a slight difference from the media's perspective, just to keep people understanding. This is how tight things are with the regulations and through the BAI, in that for me to have a balanced debate with you, I would have to have got someone with equal stature, i.e. another TD, to debate with you, and they were didn't publicly do it. Well, I'm not going to agree with you. It's going to sound like we're bashing them, but that's not my intention. You put something up on social media yesterday about people being taken off registers en masse.
Yeah.
Come on.
Do you think
that's happening? This was in the Bundoran area. There's some claims that an individual or individuals are. What kind of numbers are you talking of? Presumably, yes, voters being taken off the electoral register.
Well, I don't know. I was responding to a tweet that was directed at me in terms of how this could happen. And what I was doing was confirming that it can happen.
Does it have to be done in writing, though? Then if you tried to get me off the register, you would get me taken off the register. Then they write to me and say, look, you're being removed from the register. And that's the process that has to be done. I mean, now I know you're not right. I don't want to put words in your mouth. You were sort of given some advice on it. Do you really think that was going on?
To be honestly, I don't think it was happening wholesale. There may be some areas where it happened but really and truly, like, I mean, people would be written to say that they've been taken off the register, but that would have happened like last November.
But people were being told to check the register as well, weren't they?
So. And that's vitally important, and I think that's what everybody needs to remember, because this happens every election. Like, people have been taken off for some reason or another, where they feel they shouldn't have been taken off, and that happens all the time. It wouldn't make a difference in terms of even in today's poll, it wouldn't make the difference, like, you know, and that's the reality of the situation.
How do we stop now liberal thinking politicians, people like yourself, for instance, that even think what the heads of bill allow for doesn't go far enough? How do we now, with the Eighth Amendment gone, keep the reins on, if you know what I mean, in that in 5, 10, 15 years, as I say, a more liberal government, I don't know, comes into power?
Or a more conservative government?
Seamus, do you want to come in here?
More liberal, though, than the 12-week period, Greg. It's hard to see that, you know, where would we be going then? I mean, 12 weeks, that's where the proposed bill has it. That's where the benchmark is laid. And I mean, that's.
Yeah, but Thomas, you would.
I can't see us being any more liberal than that.
But Thomas, what would you. You were advocating for when you were up in the Dáil speaking on this.
No, what I actually said was that I personally would go for a more liberal regime.
Say six months, but that's
not my decision personally. Mm. We've put this campaign on the basis of the legislation that's proposed, and that's the legislation that I'll be supporting.
Well, I think there is also an obligation on them to try to push that legislation through, because that's what the people have been informed about. That's what they've taken cognizance of, and that's what they've actually voted on. They voted on those heads, so they're expecting that to be brought home.
And I think, to be honest with you,
not a more liberal.
And I think if they didn't, John McAteer.
At the end of the day, the vote was so emphatic, I'm sure you're even surprised by it.
Nationally.
There was a big issue here around about the protection of the unborn and the Eighth Amendment. Where does that now fit in to the new regime? Like, I'm sure there's going to be issues, and Joe McHugh has just joined us, and you're very welcome. But at the end of the day, I'm sure there's going to be protections there for the unborn anyway, aren't there?
Well, the legislation, the heads of bill of the legislation that's proposed to be adopted has been published, and that the legislation will follow on the basis of that. Yeah. So the protection that will be there as has been outlined during the campaign. There will be abortion up to 12 weeks, and that is going to be in the legislation. Yeah. There will be protections after that, and that will be there, and that's what's going to be.
But do we presume now that with
into the mic, please, John?
What's the resounding result that's going on there? That this will now have a very clear run through the Oireachtas into legislation before the end of the year, and be enacted probably before Christmas time.
Well, I can only speak for myself on that front, and I'll be fully supporting the legislation that comes through.
See what's happening with the road traffic bill, right? I know that, and it's being delayed and delayed and delayed, and that potentially could happen
That potentially could happen, all right, and that could happen.
And you could also have a government, you know, falling. A change of government could mean a big
that's
difference.
That's a very interesting question, Seamus.
And that could happen.
Yeah, well, where do you get a legal opinion on that there?
That could happen.
If the government should fall between now and Christmas time, and the legislation isn't fully enacted, does the outcome of the referendum also fall?
No, it doesn't.
No, but the Protection of Life During Pregnancy Act will be the only piece of legislation on the statute book still remaining and dealing with it. Up to there is new legislation introduced, and on the introduction of a new bill that goes through the Dáil, that particular act. The Protection Act will then be repealed, and that'll be set aside, and this piece of legislation will take its place. But in relation to the actual outcome of the referendum, there'll be no change in that, and that cannot be set aside unless we go to another constitutional referendum, highly unlikely.
Thomas, put it to you now, right? You know, at the end of the day, there's been a lot of love for Simon Harris. There's been a lot of love. But at the end of the day, too, he's the boss of a health service that's in crisis. It's a disaster what's happening here. Nurses are leaving the hospitals. We don't have enough beds. The overcrowding, the hospital care, you know, the community hospital care. It's an absolute disaster. I think a lot of people feel. Some people won't. I'm just putting that one side of the opinion there. How is that system going to be able to offer the proper care to women that they're promised now? In other words, to be honest, I don't think the conversation hasn't even happened with the GPs yet.
It probably hasn't, no. And the GPs will decide where they are going to go down that road. And I hope that the GPs that decide that they aren't going to offer will actually offer women an alternative and do that fairly and openly. And I hope that will happen. Look, the reality is that most terminations will take place outside of hospital situations. The terminations that take place over the 24 weeks, as it is at the minute, will take place where all the care can be given to the baby that is born. And despite what the yes or the no campaign have said during the campaign, babies will not be killed. The babies will be born, and they will get all the support that they can to live through that, and that's the way it should be. And then, as health improves and healthcare improves, that 24 weeks will probably become 22 and longer, and that will come down with it as well.
Okay.
And that's the reality of the situation. But the reality is, firstly, that most terminations will take place probably in people's homes, and probably with people can be full sure that they will have the medical care that they deserve and that they require. And it will be a personal decision for any woman to make that decision.
But
and
at the same time, will it do anything to stop people importing abortion pills? I was just reading a piece last night.
They will be available here, one would imagine.
The health regulatory authority, and Joe, you'll know more about this than I do. They've expressed alarm at the amount of illegal substances that are banned in Ireland being imported in here.
Yeah, but the principal problem with the abortion pill is that people are taking doses at 3 weeks, really, that they should be taking for 12. Yeah. I mean, it's unregulated. It's not prescribed.
Like anabolic steroids. You know,
there's no comparison between anabolic steroids.
I mean, those things are all available freely here on prescription. So why are we importing them?
Well, I presume that will be.
Well, because people are abusing them. That's why
Listen, Deputy Pringle, do you want? Thank you very much for that.
No bother.
Okay, it's a funny emotion because it's nothing to celebrate really as such.
If the result had been reversed and been 52, it still wouldn't have been anything to celebrate.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Does it
change the political landscape in Ireland?
No, I don't see it changing it at all. I don't see the political landscape being changed as a result.
I think more politicians of conviction rather than politicians of conviction.
Hopefully it might engage more young people in the political system, and with a greater interest drive on a new type of politics and a new approach, because that's what I see.
But at the same time, is it not a resounding victory?
That before that did not engage, that are now taking an interest.
I think it's a really good point. And they're on the register, they're mobilised, they're active, and it'll be very interesting to see what...
And when you see them travelling home from the UK or maybe Europe or whatever to vote, as they had done in the marriage referendum, things are definitely changing.
Minister Joe McHugh, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
You had issues with this yourself. You struggled with it a little bit in that. Yeah. But, I mean, you've a very key part in the government. Your government was advocating very strongly for the repeal of the 8th. Your reflections on the national outcome, I suppose, the 70-30, apparently, and the job in hand now, and you as Chief Whip have quite a job in that, to get this legislated for.
Yeah, well, look, the national result is resounding, no question about that. Obviously, we're very close to the line here in Donegal. But even within the yes vote, even the resounding vote nationally and the yes voters in Donegal, a lot of people struggled with this issue, including myself. And within that yes vote, there's a very loud, loud voice saying that they don't want a Liberal agenda. And there's going to be a massive responsibility on the legislators, including myself, to ensure that we reflect that as it goes through the Dáil. I can't see it being brought before the House in the next few weeks with all the build-up of the agenda, but I can see publication in the next few weeks and then going to the legislator in the autumn.
With a budget coming up, there's question marks over the longevity of this arrangement between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Would that complicate the introduction of legislation, or, in your opinion, you know, as I say, there's going to be a lot of conversation back and forth about the budget, and then the media's going to start speculating about elections and all that stuff?
No, I don't think this specific piece of legislation will, but we do have a difficulty at the moment where we have a road traffic bill that there's filibustering going on.
Which could very well happen with this.
And it's happening with the judicial appointments bill. My worry is that it could lead to contagion in the admissions bill coming through next week as well. So if that continues to happen in this bill, and if legislation has not gone through the Dáil, then we have a problem.
Minister Joe McHugh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Just before you go, Joe, you know...
Very briefly, though, we're quite tight in time.
I'm just saying there, you know, that this is a massive victory for two people, for Leo Varadkar and for the Minister for Health, Simon Harris.
I don't think victory is the word that I would attribute to it. I don't think there is really winners in this. This has been a very sensitive debate.
Vindication. It's a vindication. This goes back to the Citizens' Assembly and to Enda Kenny, when that crusade started to try and change the legislation.
I just have a feeling this is going to be part very quickly, and on Monday morning, unfortunately, there's going to be 20 people on trolleys at Letterkenny University Hospital.
Yeah,
and I just have a feeling we're going to be getting back to regular business very quickly. Would you agree with that, Minister? Yeah, you know, I know these are your colleagues, and I don't mean it. I'm not having a go, but you know what I'm on about.
Yeah.
The news cycle's quite short.
I'd just like to back up what Seamus is saying there, that certainly this campaign, while it is a divisive issue, I think there was respect throughout, and people did respect each other when they decided to vote in a particular way. And there'll certainly be no celebrations in the government's part around
or anywhere, to be honest with you.
And the duty now is on us to reflect the will of the people.
Minister McHugh, thank you very, very much indeed. I'm going to come back to you, John, very shortly for some more analysis. But just in terms of, just to give us a legal understanding, and we've touched on it a few times here, Seamus, in that the procedure here, this now is like a piece of legislation like any other.
Yeah,
the heads of
absolutely.
Bill,
the heads of bill are how published and we
much,
have them, we
how,
have them there.
And they
place.
Are the model going forward, yeah?
They're the model going forward. And as far as the people who have voted in favour of a yes, they will be and correctly expecting a piece of legislation to incorporate those heads. And that's from the 12 weeks up to the 24. And that's been all fairly well ventilated. But as matters stand, and as John alluded to, if there is a tweak or a change, or there's a change of government, this could all go onto the back boiler for some time, and then you're back to the Protection of Life During Pregnancy
is
Act 2013, which already provides, though, for abortion and the protection and for suicide has been a ground.
But
as
if we
well.
Don't get
so
this
that's
through
already
next,
in place.
But James, if we don't get through this through it in the next election, in a way that could become an election issue.
It will become an election issue. I do believe it will become an election issue, because even from listening to your contributors early on, who aren't certainly going to give up the campaign, they're going to be asking their public representatives as to where they stand on this. Mm. And there's a 30% anyway out there who are saying no, and they will want to implement that in their policies going forward. And if they're not going down that route, well, then they'll be looking elsewhere.
Right,
so
John,
it could very well be. And a very emotive
element. At the end of the day, my own honest opinion.
With a motivated younger
my own honest opinion, Seamus, is that the margin is so decisive is that this finally puts the issue to bed forever. And first of all, it's the first time ever, is that correct, that we have removed an amendment from the Constitution.
One, just going back to that I mentioned at the outset, was that we put there with a 66-34 majority
we
in 1983,
right over,
and we have just flipped it right over to 70-30.
Amazing yesterday was the early turnout. People were so motivated, and as I say, there was a lot of younger people out there.
Yeah, the writing was on the wall.
4 o'clock yesterday evening, I was doing a check for a national paper around 10, 12 polling stations from Remelton out to Downings, my own fan in Mulford, Rathmullen, and I was shocked. You know, I would have thought 20% would have been a realistic figure. It's a good day. People are out. They'll be working late in the evening. It was way over 45% at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And people were flocking into the polling stations.
Yeah. Right, some
still very marginal here, though. You know, we might just come in on the side of no being the only county in the country. But then we look at Roscommon, who voted against the marriage referendum for the first time ever. They're going yes. So, you know, times are changing.
Young people.
Yes.
Young people with very individual views. I mean,
and that'll be borne out. Yeah, that's going to be borne out here in the town of Letterkenny, where you're going to have had a very good youth vote and a very, very resounding yes in the town of Letterkenny. While out in the rural communities, it's far nearer, far tighter, and it's in some places
it's actually very mixed. You know.
Well, we'll come back to you. Have another wee look at the figure. Seamus Gunn, thank you very much for that. Sarah Gillespie, you came home from America to campaign for a no vote. It seems that's going to be the national outcome. Your reaction to that, Sarah, because obviously, clearly, this is something that means a great deal to you.
So I had a cut. I actually had an academic scholarship in America, which I cut short to come home to campaign and canvass for a no vote. So I was out, in the past week, just going door to door, you know, asking people, you know, if we would really want to vote to remove the words equal right from our constitution, which is in the 8th Amendment. And it just so happened, within the rest of the country, of course, it is very much majority, 70-30 in a yes vote. But right now in Donegal, because I was over there tallying, it seems to be 50-50.
Does it frustrate you when people presume young person motivated to vote, voting yes?
Yes.
Does that frustrate you? Because that's the narrative that's out there.
It does. And I think, you know, I think there's very much a media bias. I think the student unions are not representing our students, you know, the 100% of the students. And I think, to be honest, I'm very much a feminist. I very much believe in equal rights for everyone. And that includes the fundamental right to life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, within the student unions, we seem, it's quite oppressive, really, that I can't stand up and say that I am pro-life and I support the life of the unborn.
Yeah.
So it is. It's very much an emotional
issue. Amanda Slevin, Dr. Amanda Slevin, and I'll use this one with you if you want, advocating for a yes. Just maybe your reaction to what Sarah was saying there.
It is interesting to see a younger person coming out so strongly as a pro-life supporter. And it's been our experience that there's really been an age divide around this referendum. We've seen on the doors that often younger people are more supportive of choice and they're more supportive of a yes vote. And we have found quite a lot of older people have been calling for a no vote. So I think what we see here is a real conflict between older Ireland and younger Ireland, between conservatism and liberalism. And I think that's really coming through in the referendum, particularly in Donegal as a quite conservative county. I think that goes some way to explaining why we have such a tight margin when nationally
we're conservative, though. I mean, is it conservatism that has led to it being so split here?
I think it's part of that, and also the power of the church in Donegal. I think that has played a key role in the stronger no vote here than that's at odds with the national figures.
Sarah?
I don't think this has anything to do with the church. I've never associated this with the church, nor does, you know, most of the people
I do agree with you, just from the people I've spoken to. It didn't seem religion was a factor in
and with no, like, with no disrespect at all, I think more so pro-choice people would bring up the issue of the church. I would never associate it ever.
So what now? Do you feel, what's your reflection? This is your country too, of course. You know, you wanted no and you've got yes.
Yeah.
What to now for you as a person, how you feel?
Well, I am disappointed, but working with, you know, pro-life groups, I hope to still, like, you know, support women. Right now in Ireland, and it has been the case before even this legislation came in, post-abortion counselling services were only provided by pro-life groups. So I still hope to advocate and campaign, you know, for better support for women.
Okay.
And just on the healthcare, I think this whole entire campaign has brought up an issue of healthcare. You know, just kind of other healthcare issues. There's over 500,000 Irish people on waiting lists. There's no cancer unit in Donegal. There's no, you know, like, rape crisis centre in Meath. And I hope really we can, you know, that within this overall campaign, we've highlighted the other issues in the healthcare service.
Sarah, well done. Thank you very much. Sarah Gillespie there. And a woman of conviction that decided to cut short your American trip and your studies over there and come over here. Thank you very much.
You spoke very well.
Amanda Slevin, finally and briefly to you, these monikers, pro-life, pro-choice, they're out the window now, aren't they? Pro-life means something different post this referendum. Mm. Pro-choice doesn't exist anymore as such, does it? I mean, we're past that now.
Well, I still think that those of us who believe in pro-choice will be advocating choice. Mm. You know, nobody's going to be forced to have an abortion now that the referendum has passed. There's choices involved. There's choices on whether people will have abortions or whether they will access counselling and have time to make up decisions. So I think that choice is still going to be a key part going forward. A key element.
Thank you, Amanda. You're going to come back on the 9 till noon show soon, are you?
We missed
you on a Friday morning. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for that. John McAteer, final thoughts from you as we wrap things up, heading towards news at 1.
My final thoughts is that it's a very historic day. As I said to Seamus Gunn there, it's the first time that we've ever voted to remove an amendment, because effectively that's what we were doing on the day. Okay, we all knew what the outcome of the our decision was going to be. It was going to be either retain the eighth, protect the mother and child, or repeal it. We did that in an overwhelming way, and I think that we have finally put it to bed. And like the
your reaction to your thing now, because the general election, it's a really interesting point. Seamus made some good points. You've made some good points. Are we in a different Ireland now? What about this general election with a motivated young people? We don't know what party all these young 200,000, we don't know where they're going to vote.
I still believe that the result will resonate for the political parties. It'll resonate for Fine Gael in that they've been vindicated in their drive to repeal the 8th. Fianna Fáil, Micheál Martin's standing will have improved somewhat, but his party is in disarray. There's difficulties within the Fianna Fáil party more than anywhere else, because, I mean, there are three Oireachtas members here in Donegal were all opposed to it. There's going to be a bigger debate within Fianna Fáil than within any other party, but I think it's going to have political repercussions.
What does this mean for seats for those, if everyone ran in a general election, what does it mean for their seats, do you think? Because this will be, there's 50% of people in this county that don't want this legislation. And we have the likes of Thomas Pringle, Piers
Doherty.
The
first man sitting there, Thomas Pringle, was the first man who came out very strongly to repeal the 8th Amendment, and he was almost a lone voice at the time. It has vindicated his position, and has probably strengthened his position to retain his seat. Otherwise, in Donegal, I don't see any real change. There's going to be a battle, as always, for a final seat in Donegal. You can rest assured that the two Fianna Fáil seats are...
Well, what does it mean to Sinn Féin, for instance? Because I think Fianna Fáil, Patrick O'Gallagher, Charlie McConnell, they have their stances, OK? Joe McHugh has his. There's a party whip, I think, on this for Sinn Féin. So, you know, the likes of Patrick McLaughlin, Piers Doherty, one of the questions at the doorstep, will you vote for this legislation? They'll have to say yes, and that's going to be upsetting to 50% of the voters.
Sinn Féin is going to have an ardish to determine how they're going to handle the 12-week period. I think that was the resounding result, that will now literally be a non-event, because how do you turn back and say, look, we voted 70% in favour of repealing it? I think it'll have major repercussions for that Sinn Féin decision, as it will for the progress of the legislation through the Dáil. I think it will go through very, very easily. It's how it's going to be enacted and how it's going to be implemented in the years ahead. There's going to be flaws, like as in all legislation, but it'll take some time before that.
Thank you very much, John McAteer. Thank you very much to Seamus Gunn as well and all our guests. That's where we have to leave it. We'll return to normal programming now at this stage. So for me, Greg Hughes, the producer, Caroline Orr, engineer, Joe, do I call you Dex or Doherty? I always get confused with Joe Doherty, is it? I don't know. Joe Dex or Doherty, either one. Joe, and also to for Terrence back at base. Thank you very much. We'll be back with the 9 till noon show at 9 o'clock on Monday morning. But for me, Greg Hughes, and the rest of the team here at the Orr Leisure Centre, news is next. Have a great day.
Broadcasting throughout the Northwest and across the world online, this is Highland Radio.